Good morning. Our sermon today is again taken from our statement of faith statements. We've had the William's presentation on the sermon on the Bible. Ben talked about the triune God, and we had our sermon last Sunday on Jesus Christ. If the Bible, if we believe that the Bible is true, then we'll find out the way to salvation. And that's our topic and emphasis today. Let's have a word of prayer to begin. Dear God, open our hearts to receive what you would have for us today. Thank you. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We pray that we'll be encouraged and stimulated to share that gift or tell others about your gift of salvation and that it's available for them. Thank you so much for being with us and through the remainder of this service. In your name we pray. Amen. First slide, can you put the first slide up? The statement of faith, salvation. If you look on your statement of faith, those of you who have the list will find it. Salvation, all people are created in God's image. Because of Adam's disobedience to God's command, Adam and all people have fallen into sin, have a sin nature, and are separated from God. God, who is rich in mercy, has made only one provision for the salvation of people, which is faith in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as a satisfactory payment for sin. Upon repentance of sin and new faith in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit births the believer as a new creation in the kingdom of God, transferring him or her from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, we're going to look at these scriptures that we see here, we'll read them together, and also we'll have further comments and explanation of those. But talking about salvation, there's only one way to salvation. So if we believe the Bible, the solution is clear. This studying for this topic or sermon couldn't come at a better time as I prepare to go to Gambia, which is 96% Muslim. And this really has helped me solidify my faith and make it clear, you know, of how to, you know, how and what God has done for us, and then exactly, you know, exactly what is to describe or to share the one way to salvation. Let's stand for our scriptures. Can you have the next slide? The first two scriptures I would like for you to just read. I want us to read together. I would have you look it up in your Bibles, but we have different versions. So let's read it from the screen here. We'll read this together and then remain standing. I'll read the remainder of the text that we have for today. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now remain standing, and I will read the next scripture that's below the statement of faith that it comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For is it with your heart that you believe and are justified? It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the other scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Go back to the first scripture, to John 3:16. There we go. Now, John 3:16, of the over 30,000 verses in the Bible, this is probably the one that most of us would think would be the most memorized for God. But yet it's a powerful verse, and I think a lot of times we may say it and just don't really realize the impact that this verse and what the real meaning is. You know, for God so loved the world. Who is the object of God's love here? The world. Now, we think of the world, you know, the sinful world. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The world around us, I mean, you just look around, listen to the news, it doesn't take long for us to realize that we live in a sinful world. The world, to put it clearly, is just in a mess. And we have to remember this setting here that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. You know, he says, for God loved the world. Well, you know, Nicodemus was a Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee, and he thought that God only loved the Jews. You know, so you can see him kind of, you know, starting to wonder what Jesus is really meaning here, that he gave his one and only son. You know, and earlier in John chapter 3, he talks about Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't understand it, but I think he's starting to think, you know, God, he loves the world, but then he's starting to think about, does he love me? You know, and then Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son and God who loves me. He says, God loves the world, but yet on a personal level, he loves me and gave himself for me. Now, God's love motivated the plan of salvation that he gave, the gift. He gave his one and only son. I can think of Nicodemus as he thought of this. You know, Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a learned Jew. He probably thought of Abraham offering his son Isaac and the substitution there of the ram for Isaac. And I think things started clicking in his mind as to really, you know, what Jesus was talking about here. He gave his one and only son. Of course, as we celebrated or commemorated communion, you know, we think of God giving his son and shedding his blood. And it's, we just can't go too far talking about salvation without thinking of the cross. He gave his only one and only son to die on the cross. The center of salvation is through the cross of Christ. We talked about in the last several Sundays in our Sunday school lessons, we've been talking about the Old Testament sacrifices, and today's lesson led up to the sacrifice of Christ being once and for all, the one and only, once and for all. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, it's personal. It's a personal decision to believe in him. And what's the intention for believing in him, or God's intention for us, is that we will not perish, shall not perish. And what's the duration of God's love? Eternal, that we can have eternal life and be with him forever. The next verse, John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't answer it. He didn't say, I'll show you the truth, or I'll tell you the truth, and I'll show you the way, or, you know, I'll tell you the secrets of life. But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Does that sound fair? No one comes to the Father except through me? You know, that's a central theme in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. You know, in the Ten Commandments, is it, and then God says, you know, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus is the only true way to the only one true God. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. He is the only way. Now, the Muslims think Jesus, or they say that Jesus is a good man. He's a good prophet. He's a great prophet. He's a great teacher. But some of these things, like no one comes to the Father except through me, they say the Christians added that. You know, if we believe the Bible is true, we have to believe that no one comes to the Father except through me. The Muslims also don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. They think he, you know, they have all kinds of theories as to what happened to him on the cross, and he never really died for our sins. But yet, we have to realize that if we believe the scriptures are true, that he died for our sins and was resurrected. Next slide. And one more thing I wanted to say about, you know, not being fair. You know, Christianity is probably the most inclusive and embracing of other cultures of any religion. You know, the Bible is translated into, I don't know how many translations of the Bible. I know it's hundreds, probably thousands, actually, of translations where people have attempted to give the scriptures in people's native language so they can, you know, learn to know Christ in the midst of their culture and in their native language, and can follow Christ in the midst of that. In fact, the early church, you know, the early church was criticized for being too inclusive. You know, in Paul's letters, he talks about, you know, there's no difference between Jew and Greek, the Jews and Greeks, but yet there were slaves. And I can imagine some in Rome or some of these early churches, they would have a soldier on the same bench as a slave. You know, it was really a diversity of people, and they were really inclusive. Even women, you know, and men worshiping together, Jews and Greeks, you know, the free and slaves, so forth. All right, Romans 10:9-13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and this word Lord here, the Greek word for that is Kyrios, and in the Septuagint, That same word is the same Greek word that's used for Yahweh in the Old Testament. So right from the get-go, you know, Paul is indicating, you know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, in other words, he's same as God. He attributes the deity to Christ. And believe in your heart. And this doesn't mean to believe just you just recognize it and have an intellectual belief. It means that you trust in, or you cling to, or you rely on in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified means, you know, made right before God. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there's no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The last line there of verse 13 there of Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, was in Peter's sermon to the Gentiles, or Peter's sermon after Pentecost to those that were gathered there. And also that is taken from Joel, a prophecy from the book of Joel. Joel 2:32 says the very same words, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it was prophesied, and here Peter as well as Paul emphasize that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says, you know, with your mouth you confess and believe, and with your heart you believe. Confess means agree with. You know, you agree that, and that God raised him from the dead in your heart. And we see here that we need to believe it. It doesn't mention anything there about things you do other than, you know, believing in Christ. Calls us or accepts us and offers us the gift of his Son, made us alive in Christ. In Jesus' own words, he says in John 5, verse 24, this is Jesus talking. He says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. And in our theme of being made, we're, you know, with his death and resurrection, he has crossed over from death into life, or allows us to come into his kingdom. You know, people, he says, is by grace or made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It doesn't say you have to get it doesn't mean that you have to be good enough to come to church, or you got to get up to a certain level to come to church. He takes you as you are, even when we're dead in transgressions. Raised us up. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. He makes us citizens of his kingdom. And they had the theme of, you know, changes from death to life, or from darkness to light, and talks about the incomparable riches of his grace. Luke mentioned something about that yesterday morning in our Bible study, about the incomparable riches, or the benefits that God gives us through his grace. By grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So what is the gift of God? It says, by grace we are saved And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. I think salvation is the gift of God. It's referring by being saved, I think. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. If salvation was the accomplishment of man or by our works, then we would have a right to boast about it. But under God's plan of salvation, he gets the glory. Okay, next slide. You know, this, in sharing the news of the gospel, in fact, a talk on salvation is actually, I would say, is evangelism 101, or, you know, the gospel 101. You know, it's a, you know, of course, and when I worked for Samaritan's Purse in Kenya, you know, they would give us these verses to remember. And it was just a sequence in order to, you know, tell someone about the path to salvation. First of all, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." John 3:16, we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." In Romans 10:9, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or you will be saved. Next slide. You know, some people you've talked about, and I have been given a tract with this on it before, you know, the Roman road, and they're pretty much the same verses that we just went over, except there's one inclusion here, and I really like this inclusion, is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his plan. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think that's a good inclusion, because, you know, any discussion about salvation has to lead through the cross or through Jesus' death and resurrection. And the other scriptures there are the ones that we've already went over. Next slide. Now this, you might not recognize this, but the Sunday school teachers, the adult Sunday school teachers, in the back cover of our Sunday school teachers book, they have this every quarter, and they've done it for years, you know, about how to present the gospel clearly and simply in the 4 points that unsaved adults should know. And this is in there. You can, and if you got, those of your teachers have your teacher's book, you can look in the back. We copied that straight out of that. And it's just interesting to know that that is available right there, you know, for us, in front of us. The same verse there, you know, all sin and need forgiveness, Romans 3:23. And there's a different verse there, 1 Corinthians, are referring to these verses. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross. Again, I like that where they emphasize goes through the cross. In his death, Christ died for our wrongdoings, and in his resurrection overcame the power of death. We need to acknowledge our sin and believe in Christ. And you will be saved, forgiven, adopted into God's family, and given the blessing of life with God forever. Now that's Christ. Right. Now, next slide. This is the, Ben, you'll recognize this one you shared with us. You know, just something that's just easy to remember, an acronym, you know, that pray that you will have a burden for the lost, opportunity to share the gospel, and boldness to share the gospel. Bob, you can just put that little sticky note on your mirror or something and just remember that, and pray for that. Okay. Before we go back to this, I wanted to just take a minute to refer to our old statement of faith. And when you talk about salvation, it was quite it was much more lengthy, and used some spiritual and what I call theological terms that I'll just mention these. Each one could probably be a sermon in its own, but if you look at the old statement of faith, he had these terms, and it had 60 at the end. We have three scriptures in ours. They had 60 scriptures in the old statement of faith, and I don't think anyone looked all those up. But anyway, it talks about regeneration or the new birth, you know, being born again under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It talks about repentance, turning from sin through faith and acceptance of Jesus. It talks about the term justification, you know, God's gracious and full canceling of all our sins and making us right, making us faultless or right before God. It talks about sanctification, which another theological term that we'll have us that will be a, it's a separate thing in our present statement of faith that we separated that in, and that'll be a sermon coming up here in a few weeks. Sanctification, being set apart for God's purposes and growing and maturing in our lives with the Holy Spirit's guidance, and glorification, which is the culmination of our salvation being with God forever. Now, in conclusion, I want us to look at our statement of faith one more time in salvation. All people, this was what we initiated with, but after going through these scriptures, we can also use our statement of faith as a conclusion. All people are created in God's image. That's actually more from Romans 3:23. Because of Adam's disobedience to God's command, Adam and all people have fallen into sin. You know, also Romans 3:23. Have a sin nature and are separated from God. God, who is rich in mercy, you know, has made only one provision for the salvation of people, referring to John 14:6, which is faith in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross as a satisfactory payment for sin. Upon repentance of sin and new faith in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and I want to emphasize too the role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, not only in convicting us about our need for salvation, but his living with us. You know, I know we pray sometimes, and this is a good prayer, that the Holy Spirit will be with us in our service. If we are here, the Holy Spirit should be here with us because the Holy Spirit is within us. Birth the believer in a new creation in the kingdom of God, transferring him or her from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Okay. Of all the doctrines that we have in our statement of faith, I think salvation is the one that we should really be familiar with. Because that is the only way. This doctrine is the only way that the lost can be saved. I mean, it's the only path to salvation. And this is what we're commanded and commissioned to do in the Great Commission, is to share this with others. So we need to be well-grounded and know these scriptures. And we need to really realize that there is no salvation apart from a personal faith in Christ alone. And needless to say, you know, if you're here today and you haven't accepted the gift of salvation, this is a gift from God. God loves you, and he offers this, the gift of salvation. You need to please accept that today. And then just let someone know, you know, we as believers should be able to direct someone or anyone that comes to us, you know, and be able to direct them into God's kingdom.